कुंज बिहारी जय राधमाधवा कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वाला बा गिरिवर धारी गोपी जन वाला बा गिरिवर धारी यशोर नंदन व्रज जन रंजन यशोर नंदन व्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरा वन चारी यमुना तीरा वन चारी जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वाला बा गिरिवर धारी यशोर नंदन व्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरा वन चारी जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी श्याम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्रजाकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर सत्य श्री श्री महाराज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्री प्रभुपाद की जय अनंत कोटि वैष्णवेंद्र की जय इस्कॉन फाउंडर चार्ल्स डिवाइन ग्रेस श्री प्रभुपाद की जय गौर प्रेमानंदी ऑल ग्रेस टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्रेस टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्रेस टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्रेस टू श्री श्री गुरु एंड गौरांग नमो ओम विष्णु पाराय कृष्ण परिष्ठाय भूतलय श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामिनीति नामने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चाचिरे सुधारिणे सुस्मरण रीड फ्रॉम चैतन्य चरितामृता मज्जि लीला चैप्टर 6 79 and 80. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda जय द्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्त वृंदा So before beginning, I just want to mention that the deities today, I mean, I don't know, maybe it's every day, but they're just like exquisitely beautiful. I mean, I just can hardly believe it when you come and have darshan, especially the garlands are fabulous. And Lord Chaitanya is like burning bright gold there on the altar, quite amazing darshan. So thank you to all the pujaris and everyone that worked so hard rendering service to give everyone such a beautiful darshan. Of course, then there was a wonderful class yesterday, there was a wonderful kirtan. Today it's just one wonderful thing after another around here. So, anyway, thank all of the devotees for their wonderful service to Srila Prabhupada. So, text number 79 we'll chant, and I'll read 80 and the purport in 80. Tahate, therefore, vikyata, celebrated inho, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Parama Ishvara, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Agya Stane, before an ignorant person, Kichu, any, Nahe, not, Vignera, of that person who knows, Gochara, information. Tahate Vigyata Ino Parama Ishvara. Agyastane kichu nahi vignera gochara.
Agyastane kichu nahi vignera
gochara. Tahate vikyata inu parama ishvara.
Tahate vikyata inu parama ishvara.
Agyastane kichu nahi vignera gochara. Tahate vikyata ino parama ishvara.
Tahate vikyata ino parama ishvara.
Agyastane kichu nahe vignera gochara.
Agyastane kichu nahe vignera
gochara.
Tahate vikyata ino parama ishvara.
Translation. This is a conversation that's taking place between Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and his disciples and Gopinathacharya, who was the son-in-law of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, brother-in-law of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and a devotee of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya is offered to give, to sort of rectify in his mind Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by giving him sannyas again in a proper disciplic succession and teaching him Vedanta. And so Gopinathacharya is responding to that when he says here in this verse. Gopinathacharya continued, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is celebrated as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, those who are ignorant in this connection find the conclusion of knowledgeable men very difficult to understand. Text number 80. The disciples of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya retaliated. By what evidence do you conclude that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Lord? Gopinathacharya replied, the statements of authorized acharyas who understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead are proof. Purport. Since the appearance of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, there have been many pseudo-incarnations in India who do not present authorized evidence. 500 years ago, the disciples of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, being very learned scholars, were certainly right in asking Gopinathacharya for evidence. If a person proposes that he himself is God or that someone else is an incarnation of God or God himself, he must cite evidence from Shastra to prove his claim. Thus, the request of the Bhattacharya's disciples is quite bona fide. Unfortunately, at the present moment, it has become fashionable to present someone as an incarnation of God without referring to the Shastras. Before an intelligent person accepts someone as an incarnation of God, however, he must ask about the evidence. When the disciples of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya challenged Gopinathacharya, he immediately replied correctly. We must hear the statements of great personalities in order to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Lord Krishna is celebrated as the Supreme Personality of Godhead by statements from many authorized persons such as Brahma, Narada, Vyasadeva, Asita, and Arjuna. Similarly, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is also established as the Supreme Personality of Godhead by evidence from the same personalities. This will be explained later. Om Agyana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chaksuran Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. This is a very interesting section of the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. This conversation goes on for several verses and started last week, I believe, and we'll be studying it for many Saturdays to come, I'm sure, as there is much instruction here. There's much instruction, and it's very important because we're getting a look at two very different worldviews. Worldviews which are still hotly debated in Vedic circles, a personalist understanding of the absolute truth and an impersonalist understanding of the absolute truth, and how to get there. And I want you to notice one thing. Of course, you don't have a book in front of you, but in text number 80, the Bengali is there, and it says, Shisha Gana Kahe, the disciples of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said. But in Prabhupada's translation, that's in the word for it, but in Prabhupada's translation, he translates it, the disciples of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya retaliated. They retaliated. It gives you some idea with the the, I don't want to say concern because that's not strong enough, of the intense feelings or anxiety or anxiousness with which the school of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and his disciples, which they engage in debate. They're very enthusiastic to engage in debate, logic and reason, nyaya approach, nyaya, or logic and reason. And Keshava was reading the verse from Bhagavad Gita this morning, and he mentioned different sages, Vedic sages, and he mentioned Gautam. Now, Gautam is the founder of this Nyaya philosophy. There are six main philosophies of that we find in India in the Vedic tradition, and Nyaya, or the philosophy of logic and reason, is one of them. And Gautam established that. Now, one of the reasons why Prabhupada used this word retaliated to show the enthusiasm by which they jumped on Gopinathacharya asking for evidence is because this process of nyaya, or logic and reasoning, that starts with this pramana or evidence is their whole way of relating to reality. Actually, all six philosophies that are present in the Vedic tradition, they have similar goals. And there's a nice book that I'm going to be referring to about today. It's a little pamphlet here, The Six Systems of Vedic Philosophy, compiled by my old friend, departed friend, Sahotra Swami. And he describes the Nyaya philosophy and all the philosophies, and I want to read from you different sections of that today. About the philosophy itself, he says, the ultimate goal of Nyaya philosophy, like that of the other systems of Vedic philosophy, is liberation, the absolute cessation of pain and suffering. Nyaya aims to be a philosophy of spiritual life, even though it is mainly concerned with the study of logic and epistemology. So, for these students of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, logic and reasoning was their whole being in life. That's what they lived for. And so naturally, when an opportunity came up to debate the question of God, of the position of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the position of anyone being God, they were very anxious to discuss that. And therefore, they jumped on this statement that Gopinathacharya made about Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu being the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And as Prabhupada points out in the purport, correctly asks for evidence, pramana. What is your pramana for that statement? You can't just go around making statements like that, saying, isn't that without presenting some evidence? That's what life's all about, the evidence. Now, of course, Gopinathacharya replied correctly, and we're going to discuss what he said a little later, but first let's try to understand a little bit about the different characteristics of debate that are there in Nyaya. Because we're always hearing in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes about Keshava Kashmiri, how he was Digvijay Pandit, and he came, and then he was defeated. And then we hear about how Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya himself was ultimately defeated by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So what does it mean, defeated? You know, what's the characteristic of debate? What are the elements? How do we know when someone's defeated? Especially in Kali Yuga, because in Kali Yuga people don't like to accept a defeat. So how do we know, according to the Nyaya philosophy, what is how one is defeated? So there are a lot of different characteristics. I'll just go over them briefly because, again, this is a very complicated subject. But it starts with pramana, or evidence. And Prabhupada discusses an introduction to Sri Ishupanishad, three types of evidence. Does anybody remember what they are? Three types of evidence described in the introduction to Ishupanishad. Pratyaksha is the first, right? Pratyaksha. Let me just read here. There are three kinds of evidence: pratyaksha, anuman, and shabda. Pratyaksha means direct evidence. Direct evidence is not very good because our senses are not perfect. We are seeing the sun daily and it appears just like a small disk, but it is actually far, far larger than many planets. Of what value is this seeing? So essentially, when Prabhupada describes these three characteristics or sources of valid knowledge, he is discounting pratyaksha. And then he goes on to say, then there is anuman, inductive knowledge. It may be like this, hypothesis. For instance, Darwin's theory says that it may be like this, it may be like that. But that is not science. It is a suggestion, and it is also not perfect. So he doesn't accept this anuman, inductive knowledge. It's also inference, or if you want to be a little more cutting in your language, you can say they're just guessing, you know. Because inference means they're guessing. Well, I'm going to guess it's like this. So inference, Prabhupada discounts that. But he does accept shabda. And he says, but if you receive knowledge from the authoritative sources, that is perfect. If you receive a program guide from the radio station authorities, you accept it. You don't deny it. You don't have to make an experiment because it is received from the authoritative sources. Vedic knowledge is called Shabda Praman. So, this is a type of evidence, these three main sources of knowledge. Because if you're going to debate something, you need to have evidence that everyone accepts, and so these three are types of evidence that are accepted. Now, the a debate over a subject obviously requires something you're trying to know. And so all of these philosophies, including the Nyaya, aim at trying to know the external world and how it relates to and what its relationship is to the conscious self. And so obviously that includes knowledge of God. And so subject matter here between Gopinath Acharya and the disciples of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya is the position of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as Parama Ishvara, as he's described in the verse. Gopinath Acharya has said that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Parama Ishvara, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Supreme Controller. And so that's the question of knowledge that's before them in their debate. Now, there are certain characteristics of the conditioned soul which place him in a position to be trying to understand knowledge. Doubt, for instance. Doubt, according to Nanya philosophy, is described as a state of mind that wavers between conflicting views regarding a single object. Doubt is a product of a confused state of mind that is not able to perceive with clarity. Okay, so the living entity, conditioned soul, is subject to doubt, and therefore he has to get out of that doubt some way, and the process for getting out is presented by the Nyaya philosophers as debating on, arguing on, using logic and reasoning. You may be familiar with one element of the debate, which is tarka, because there's a very famous verse that talks about this specifically. Tarko patishta shutiya bibina nava yasir yasya matam nabinam dharmasya tatvam nihitam guhayam mahajeno yena gatasupanta. This verse is very interesting, particularly in the context of the discussion that's going on here, because it covers both sides of the debate. Tarka, or hypothetical argument, is what the disciples of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and those that use Nyaya philosophy are going to refer to. Let me read to you the discussion what it is. Tarka is the process of questioning and cross-questioning that leads to a particular conclusion. So questioning and cross-questioning using logic and reason, that's tarka. And in his verse, tarko, Prabhupada gives the translation as dry argument. This type of dry argument is what is used by the Nyaya philosophers to try to understand the absolute truth. But why this verse from Mahabharata is so important is that it gives the other side of the argument that Gopinath Acharya is presenting, and that's Mahajano Yena Katasa Panta. That instead of dry argument, this questioning and cross-questioning, better you try to understand the truth by following what great personalities have said. And if we recall the purport, that's what he says in the second verse, text 80. Gopinath Acharya replied, "The statements of authorized acharyas who understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead are proof." And so that's basically the difference between our process, following Parampara, following the Mahajans, and the process of Nyaya, or questioning and cross-questioning, that we don't try to understand the absolute truth by our mental faculties only, but rather, dharmasya tattvam nihitam guhayam, by trying to understand what's in the heart of self-realized persons and hearing that and accepting that, then we gain understanding of the absolute truth. And it's not possible any other way. And so this is the main difference between the two. But just a couple of look at some of the bad arguments that they give, the classifications of bad arguments. There's one called Jalpa. Now you can you can imagine what that's going to be, Jalpa, because we know Prajalpa, talking nonsense. Jalpa. Jalpa, or wrangling, is a process by which the exponent and an opponent both try to attain victory over the other without making an honest attempt to come to the truth. There's a battle of egos instead of a search for knowledge. So this is a one type of argument. So if you're in a debate with somebody and your ego gets caught up in it and you're not really trying to come to an understanding of the truth, but just trying to defeat the other person, then this is a defect and it can lead to your defeat. Another one is vitanda, irrational reasoning. Specifically, it is argumentation that is aimed exclusively at refuting or destroying an antagonist's position and that is not at all concerned with establishing or defending one's own position. It is merely destructive criticism of the views of one's opponent. And so if you're seriously engaging in this process of debate, then you can't have ego come in. You can't use destructive arguments. You must positively put forward your own arguments to win the debate. You can't just try to destroy or tear down somebody else. Then there's specious reasoning, unfair reply, using a false analogy. This using a false analogy, it's a little bit technical, the description here, but there's an example. And I think that is the example when Lord Chaitanya was talking with, when he heard Keshava Kashmiri and he recited those verses, 100 verses glorifying Mother Ganges. And at some point he made it, there was a discrepancy in what he said. And it was an analogy, wasn't it? He compared Mother Ganga to something. I didn't get a chance to look it up, but he compared Mother Ganga incorrectly, made an incorrect analogy with Mother Ganga. And that was a fault in his Sanskrit usage. And so therefore he was defeated by Lord Chaitanya pointing that out to him. So a false analogy is another type of mistake that people use in these debates. And then finally, grounds for defeat. How do you know when you're defeated? That's called nigrahastana. May be translated as the grounds on which a person is defeated in his argument. When a proponent understands his own or his opponent's premises and their implications, when a proponent misunderstands his own or his opponent's premises and their implications, then he becomes helpless and must eventually admit his defeat in the debate. The point at which he accepts his defeat is called nigrahastana. So, misunderstanding your own arguments and your opponents leads to defeat. So that's the life of these Nyaya philosophers, going through these kind of mental gymnastics to try to come to a conclusion. But ultimately, you can never come to a conclusion like that. That's the point of the verse that we read from Mahabharata, that kind of mind game goes on and on and on without coming to any real conclusion. But if you want to come to a conclusion, then you have to accept dharmasya tattvam nihitam guhayam. What is in the heart of a self-realized person? And actually, it's interesting, in the coming weeks when we're reading this on, we'll see that Gopinath Acharya points out to them that even by your own nyaya, you're not understanding correctly, because in nyaya there are three ways in which the concept of God is understood. And the third one, I'll just read it here, a third nyaya argument for the existence of God is based on scriptural testimony. According to this reason, the Vedas, Upanishad, and all other authoritative scriptures state the existence of God. These scriptures were not written by common people, but were formulated by those great sages who experienced truth from within. Thus, the authority of testimony depends on direct experience, which is the only source of knowledge about any and all facts. The fact of the existence of God is experienced directly by individual souls, and some of these individuals have expressed their God realizations. The Vedas expresses such direct experiences of God, therefore God exists. So their argument ultimately accepts this Mahajanoyena Gatasapanta, accepting the path of the great authorities, the Mahajans. Now, for our position, this time and place where we are, we also have to accept this idea of dharmasya tattvam nihitam guhayam, what is in the heart of realized persons. And we can get some example of that, and I don't mean to embarrass him or just go on about it, but the class yesterday was an example of this dharmasya tattvam nihitam guhayam, and I'm going to explain why. Because that means that in the heart, there's some truth there. There's some truth in the heart. And a self-realized person means that in the heart they understand the Supreme Lord, His representative, the mission of the Lord. They understand these things all very clearly. And when that comes out in the form of instruction, it's not just like this nyaya, logic and reasoning, that's from the mental plane. It's not like that. It's actually realization coming out of the heart through the mouth in sound vibration. This is our whole process that we accept by hearing from the great authorities, by taking sound vibration, shabda praman, Prabhupada said, by taking that evidence, then we can get actual realization. And so we got, hearing yesterday from Divyanga Prabhu, we got some realization. We got some understanding of his taste. When we talk about this taste, what does taste mean in spiritual life? Well, taste means something that inspires one to serve the Supreme Lord on a continual basis. You have some taste. That taste leads you to continue your service, leads you to make sacrifice, it leads you to do all sorts of things in the service of the Lord. That's what taste means. And so, when we hear from someone that's actually doing that, continually serving, dedicating themselves, sacrificing for a particular mission, we're hearing the realization from their heart. We're not hearing some mental conviction or some idea that is coming from the mental plane. It's not like that. So in a sense, yes, the class yesterday, but actually all the classes we're hearing from all the devotees, we're hearing from them their realizations, dharmasya tattvam nihitam guhayam. And of course, actually, we hear from Srila Prabhupada and all the disciplic succession, you know, that's there. But I'm trying to give you an example that's closer to home, how we experience it all the time. It's not just that we hear from Prabhupada and that's the only time we're hearing this dharmasya tattvam nihitam guhayam. No, we're hearing it all the time from the devotees when they're expressing their realizations. These are realizations that are not based in the mind and this process of questioning and cross-questioning like nyaya. It's not like that. So by hearing constantly in this way, we ourselves become fixed. We get a genuine understanding of what is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, how I'm related with Him. The three subjects of that are found throughout the Vedas. What are they? Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojana. We can realize those three subjects by hearing from those who have realization of those subjects. And so this is our process. It's not this like the Gyanis, that Nyaya philosophers that go through this type of questioning, cross-questioning, and this fault and that fault and this type of reasoning. No, it's not like that. It's a process of realization and following that. If we do that, then that is a path, sure path to success. And so therefore, that's the big divide between Gopinath Acharya and the disciples of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya as they begin the debate. They're asking for evidence, but they're on this questioning, cross-questioning type of thing. And he's responding that you don't have to go through that cross-questioning, cross-questioning process. Just accept what the great authorities have said, because that's coming from their heart where they have direct realization of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So any comments or questions about this subject matter? Yes, Pushkar.
Some things like have to be clarified more or less, like somebody asks, well, we say Pratyaksha Bhagavam Dhanamyam Shushukam Kartam, and you're mentioning Pratyaksha, but on the other hand, we just said that Pratyaksha was not acceptable. So we have to say, make some differentiation. Why should we accept your pratyaksha? What about our pratyaksha? You know. And then again, you also mentioned that one of the aspects was just, what was it? To tear down someone else's argument. It wasn't acceptable. But then Chaitanya, it seems like that's how you do destroy someone's argument, by showing the faults of the argument. So can you also explain that?
Yeah, well, it's not that a devotee of the Lord is unable to engage in debate using pratyaksha or any of these different arguments they have. Devotees are also expert in doing that, and they defeat people using the same type of arguments that they use. However, there's a difference between that and that type of debate that we may engage in to with someone on that level, and the acceptance ourselves of that. I mean, we're not dependent on that type of, ultimately dependent upon that type of argument and use of reasoning and logic to come to the conclusion of surrendering to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Our surrendering process comes from hearing from the great authorities and following their path. But that doesn't mean someone can't develop the skills to go and debate someone and use all these kind of arguments like that. Certainly, that's possible, but it's not dependent on that. Our process is not dependent on being able to do that or dependent on the conclusions from such arguments. Prajaksha, as far as Prabhupada's statement, yeah, we don't accept prajaksha. Well, I think in that lecture that he was giving, Introduction to Ishupanishad, comparatively looking at the three types of evidence and accepting Shabda as supreme among them. But that doesn't necessarily mean that prajaksha is completely invalidated. Because, yes, we, as you properly mentioned, we have that.
Purport of 9.1 or 2.2.
You mean the purport to
Susukam Kartam Agnya? It is understood by realization. You know, and he says it can only be understood, maybe it's the second chapter of the Gita, but that you can only understand soul by realization. That you can't explain it to somebody. It has to be right. It can only be ultimately understood by realization, by the soul, by the Akshayapagamas. And the symptom is Susukam Kartam Agnyam. But, so, yeah. But I mean, the logicians are just, their realization that we consider like dry cakes or whatever the different analogies are, kakachuse, the crow chewing neem fruits. That their realization of is a bitter. Suska Brahmagyani Nahi Krishna Sambandha. They are dry and they don't have any relation with Krishna.
Yes.
What do you call it when, for myself and I think quite a few other people, with Prabhupada, he would explain so many different things, and like Prabhupada even said about Bhaktisiddhanta, sometimes he'd understand, sometimes he didn't understand. But Prabhupada's qualities just charmed us so much that we dedicated our lives to following him. Is that kind of some sort of a realization? How does that work? Because Prabhupada was just so charming in whatever he was doing that you just became captivated and you knew it was right. Does that fit in any of the categories that you're...
You mean of prajaksha, anuman, and shabda?
Right. I mean, there's a lot of fancy words here.
But there's one quote that Prabhupada, he said, the smile of a pure devotee is something captivating. I can just remember that phrase, that English phrase, the smile of a pure devotee, so captivating, something like that. Again, pure devotee is experiencing internal realization. When Rupad Swami was here this week, he had a program one evening I went to, and we were talking about this subject, about the pure devotees of the Lord that are absorbed in the transcendental plane. And they come to this material plane, they come down to this material plane, and they bring that consciousness with them. So I asked him the question, well then, how is that consciousness transmitted to the conditioned souls that they come down to? And he said, by sound vibration. So it's by sound. That spiritual world comes into this world, the consciousness of the spiritual world comes into this world by the pure devotee of the Lord, and our ability to capture that spiritual consciousness is based on sound. So when the pure devotee is speaking, it's not like we use these terms like class. We're going to class and we're going to study and things like that. But in a sense, it's not like that. Yes, we can study. Yes, we can have classes. But actually, what's going on when we're hearing from the pure devotee is that we're getting the spiritual consciousness through sound vibration. It's not like a class where, okay, I'm going to prepare academically and I'm going to study this and I'm going to prepare different logic and arguments and I'm going to teach, and that's the way people are going to get spiritual understanding. No, they speak from their realization. Therefore, we can have in our disciple succession Gorkhasura Das Babaji Maharaj, who's illiterate. How is he going to teach Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur? Because it's not teaching. It's just hearing. It's spiritual consciousness coming through sound vibration. It's not just like some kind of academic exercise. It doesn't work like that. That's not how spiritual life works. And so, whatever the pure devotee does, smiling, walking, you know, charming us all, and as you say, that's coming from the spiritual platform.
Okay. A continuation on that point.
Why don't we go to some other people, because they don't have that much time, and there's other people that want to say something. Okay, or maybe on this side over here now. The lady?
Thank you very much. Please first forgive my broken English. I will try to be as understandable as possible. Many things came in my mind while hearing to you, and as I'm not a scholar, I would say a few things, like, for example, Prabhupada said the Maha Mantra, many people chant the Maha Mantra, but we should not hear from them. In the Bhagavad Gita, there are also analogies, like, for example, Matras Pachas Kanteya, that spiritual life is simple for the simple and complicated for the complicated, and we are, most of us, complicated, so we need more detailed explanations. But isn't it that it depends overall of the mind of the mind of the person who is listening? If this person is purified enough, she will understand who she has to listen to. Otherwise, there are so many knowledge for so many different level of consciousness and desires. I don't know if I'm understandable.
Mm-hmm. Well, that the mind is clouded by desires and other types of infections of the material energy is a fact. And the Nyaya philosophy accepts that, and therefore there's 12 objects which they consider to be objects of study for knowledge. And they try to approach those things using these different elements of Siddhanta, inference, hypothetical argument, conclusion, discussion, but that's all that they're dependent upon, as far as I understand. They're dependent upon those only to come to the proper conclusion. So again, it's not that a devotee may not use those things or come in contact with those things to him or herself come to surrendering to the Supreme Lord. But that point has to be reached to achieve perfection, is coming to the point of surrendering to a pure devotee Lord and just hearing from the pure devotee and accepting that path. That's ultimately where these things have to lead. If they are just used themselves and don't lead to that path, at point of surrender, then they're useless. So I think that's the distinction. All of us may need those things as well, yes, and not that we throw away our mind. But we should understand, ultimately, we have to come to this point of accepting what the great authorities have said and following them. Prabhupada said, questioning is a sign of intelligence, but he also indicated that at some stage that questioning has to be given up. Is that? Right. Yes?
Also, I think the difference is that the Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya at this time and his followers, their sadhya, their conclusion is still Brahmavad or Mayavad. So in that conclusion, what they're saying is perfect, that by these means, you can reach this goal. It's the goal of the revelation of what is bhakti, what is Krishna, what is Mahaprabhu, you cannot reach by these means. So Gopinath Acharya's emphasis is that unless you have gotten the mercy of Bhagavan or Bhagavan's devotee, then you cannot understand how Mahaprabhu is God. But at this point, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya cannot understand, nor his followers, because they're following Vedapat, or the path of Vedas, to the conclusion of Brahmavad. So they're thinking, well, we don't understand. We've never heard this before. By these means is how you get to spiritual perfection. But that spiritual perfection for them means Mayavad or Brahmavad. So now Gopinath Acharya is arguing, no. The reason you cannot understand, even by all these different means, is because unless you've gotten the kripa of a pure devotee, then you cannot understand what is bhakti. So this is the differentiation being made here, because the basis of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya Mahaprabhu's meeting is the distinction between what is Brahmavad at best and pure bhakti. And once Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya comes to this, he's read these things. That's how he knew Mahaprabhu's ecstasy, because he had read these things before, but he didn't realize what is bhakti. So now in Mahaprabhu's association, by his kripa, he's going to realize, oh, what is bhakti? At that time, he'll say, oh, I never knew this is such a wonderful thing. Then he'll recommend to Mahaprabhu, oh, I have a good friend, you should go see him, named Ramananda Roy. So this is like a progression.
Yes.
Anyway, it's a very, very wonderful lecture. Thank you. Thank you. And just thinking and remembering how Srila Prabhupada teaches how to preach and how to, through his books, to recognize and to learn how to see the incarnations of Krishna and not be cheated, especially coming from India. There's so many different so-called incarnations of Krishna. And a few times Prabhupada teaching us how to defeat philosophically, and sometimes, one time Prabhupada said, if this incarnation of God, I'll kick in his face. And we see, what kind of incarnation is that? So that's like very strong, you know, strong preaching coming from Prabhupada. You know, I just want to make that comment.
Okay, thank you. I think one last thing. Okay, sure.
Sometimes in talking to new people and trying to convince them, I come to a point where they're asking for evidence and I'm mentioning authorized knowledge. But then how do you bridge that gap? I mean, sometimes it's hard for me to like explain them authorized knowledge. You know, Prabhupada said, you know, you heard a place called Australia, you've never gone there but because of hearing. But is there something else?
Well, persons that aren't familiar with the Vedic tradition are different from those arguing with persons who are familiar with the Vedic tradition is different than arguing with those who are not familiar with the Vedic tradition, because the Vedic tradition starts everyone accepting certain things, like different these pramanas of sources of knowledge, and that the purpose of philosophy is to get out of the suffering condition of the living entity. So arguments can be given. Persons that aren't familiar with the Vedic paradigm, they can also be given knowledge, given evidence by using some of the things here, just like hypothetical argument or the tarka. Srila Goswami describes here, tarka can become a great instrument for analyzing common statements and for discriminating valid knowledge from invalid knowledge. So hypothetical arguments we find a lot in Prabhupada's preaching. And Pushkar is referring to this also, is that we can use hypothetical arguments to try to understand something. And so for someone who's has no access or previous experience with the Vedic paradigm, when they ask for evidence, we can give them evidence by using hypothetical argument. And we see that in Prabhupada's preaching a lot. And there are other sort of things which are also here that can be used. Some of them shouldn't be used, like this wrangling. He kind of concludes here in this section. He says that lawyers sometimes apply this method to win their cases in court. Wrangling. Battle of egos. So, like that. Okay. Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai.